Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones here with Vince Butts and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. And today we're starting off the show talking about black college football. Today at noon, kicking off will be the third annual Celebration Bowl. And Alan and Vince, this is a big one because you got North Carolina A&T who's undefeated. So it's a record-breaking season. What the team set their sights on was chasing perfection. So they've been chasing perfection all season long. They went through the MEAC, didn't lose a game. They didn't even have a run for it because Howard University was fast on their heels, but Howard, they lost to North Carolina Central and they lost to Hampton the last game of the season. But the Aggies breezed right through the MEAC conference, 11-0, make that trip to Atlanta. They're there today. They have to face the number one team on our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll, the Grambling State Tigers. Now, anytime you say Grambling State, Alan Lincoln, what do you think about?
Eddie Robinson, Doc Williams, man, the greats of black college football just came out of Grambling, and it's great to see the Grambling has really come back. And this is an exciting game, and on ABC.
And it's in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So the Atlanta Falcons Stadium is now hosting an HBCU, and it's actually the National Black College Championship, if you want to look at it. Broderick Fobbs is the head coach of Grambling State. And Coach Fobbs has not lost a conference game in 3 years, okay? So they were in last year's Celebration Bowl. They won by 1 point over North Carolina Central. The score was 10-9. So they're back, and they can win back-to-back national championships. Grambling State is loaded, man. And when I say loaded, you got the quarterback, Devontae Kincaid, who was a transfer from Mississippi, who came in 2 years ago, has not lost a conference game. He didn't lose any SWAC games. They're 11-1. Their only loss came outside of black college football. So nobody in black college football has beaten Grambling State. As a matter of fact, nobody in black college football has beat Grambling State for the past 2 years. So, I mean, is that impressive or what?
Oh, absolutely.
And when you think about that, what do you need to look at is this. Grambling State has Devontae Kincaid, who's the quarterback and also a candidate for the Black College Hall of Fame Deacon Jones Award, which is given to the best black college football player in the country. Last year, the winner, Allen and Vince, guess who that was?
The little running back that ended up in Chicago, Mr. Cohen.
Tariq Cohen from North Carolina A&T. He won it last year. This year, Lamar Renard, the quarterback from North Carolina A&T, is also a finalist. So now you have two people out of the four who are finalists. The other ones are Trenton Cannon from Virginia State University. The fourth one is Amir Showtime Hall, the quarterback from Bowie State, who just broke all kinds of records this year with Bowie State, Damon Wilson. Coach Damon Wilson is actually on social media. He has a post up that says it shows Amir Showtime Hall and his stats. And Coach Damon Wilson says, retweet this until it becomes viral because he wants people to vote for Amir to win the Deacon Jones Award. That being said, the key factor in the game probably will be at the running back spot, where you have a gentleman by the name of Martez Carter. They call him Mr. Excitement. Mm-hmm. He returns kicks and punts and has over 800 yards rushing for the Grambling State Tigers. Keep your eye on him, number four. Also keep your eye on Markel Cartwright, who's a running back for North Carolina A&T. Why do I say keep your eye on him? He's rushed for over 1,000 yards this year. And Coach Rod Broadway, he also has a return specialist, Chris Garden, who's been just awesome for the past 2 years. So special teams looks like it's going to be a key. And it might be a battle between the two running backs because the two defenses we're talking about are ranked in the nation as far as scoring defense and pass defense. So it's going to be an interesting game. That's the Celebration Bowl this afternoon, 12 noon kickoff. It's going to be televised.
Let's talk about HBCU. Just one more point. The 16th annual Honda Battle of the Bands is January 27th. Where? Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
And the ATL.
And eight bands are Alabama A&M, Alabama State, Bethune-Cookman, Hampton, Miles College, North Carolina A&T, Prairie View A&M, in Tennessee State University. You talk about having a great time.
And that's true. And you know what's even more exciting is Grambling State, North Carolina A&T, they're going to show their stuff at halftime of the Celebration Bowl today. All right, so let's move on to college basketball, Vince. Duke lost, man.
Yeah, they lost a close game to BC, 89-84.
Good, give me a break. Didn't I just sit here?
BC.
I just sat here last week and raved about Duke, didn't we?
Yeah.
And they lose every time. First it was Jared Goff. He was on the road and then he messed up. We talked about him. Then he went downhill just for that one game though. And now we talk about Duke and Mike Krzyzewski and Bagley and all the troops. And they come up short against Boston College.
Did you jinx him?
I didn't jinx him, man. I had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. But, I mean, that's interesting because then, I mean, now with the latest rankings, the latest poll that came out, I mean, this week, earlier this week, you have Villanova at number one now. Then you had Michigan State, Wichita State, followed by Duke at number four. Arizona State, Miami, North Carolina. Remember, 2 weeks ago, North Carolina was outside the top 10 at number 11. Now they're number seven. Then you have Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Xavier. Kentucky down to number eight on a poll?
It's a young team. And not quite as talented as some of the Kentucky teams have been in the past. Interestingly, that as we're talking about top 10 teams, we got to watch West Virginia.
Against Pitt?
Against Pitt last week. And Pitt was very impressive. West Virginia is one of those scattered teams.
Okay.
They reminded me so much of VCU when Shaka was coaching them down at VCU when they were up and down the court all the time, running, and then out of nowhere they were hitting three-pointers. And that's what kept them in the game. There's some really talented teams out there this year. I'm looking forward to seeing North Carolina. One of my former basketball player's son is actually on the North Carolina team this year at 6'11", freshman out of Ohio, and he's getting some play time. So looking forward to watching them this year.
You mentioned West Virginia, and they're ranked number 11 this week, which is interesting because I'm not used to seeing West Virginia at number 11. When you're talking college basketball. Now, Kentucky, I'm not used to seeing them at 8. So that's going to be interesting. And then you have Kansas down at 13. Kansas had lost 2 games early in the season already. That's not like a Kansas Jayhawk team. To round out the next 10 out of the top 10 was Gonzaga at number 12. Kansas, TCU, Seton Hall, Virginia, Purdue, Notre Dame, Florida State, and then Tennessee rounded out the top 20. And that's what's happening in college hoops. And as time goes on here at Urban Media Today, what we're going to do is we're going to transition from black college football into the basketball poll. So there will be an HBCU basketball poll here at Urban Media Today Radio. And why are we doing that? Because not many people in the country are giving you an HBCU basketball poll. So we're going to give you one. And that's why we're not talking about that top 20 right now, because we're going to set up a top 20 as far as HBCU basketball is concerned, and we'll present that to you next week. Let's move on.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Let's go to NBA. Go from college basketball to the NBA. Vince is the man with the NBA. Vince, I gotta say this to you. LaVar Ball is causing problems in Los Angeles. Wait a minute. And then, were you impressed with his son's performance in the debut at Madison Square Garden? Early in the week when they took on the Knicks, they only lost. They lost in overtime. I think they lost by 3 points. Right. But the Lakers are rolling.
Yeah, I like this young team. You know, Kuzma is a leading rookie of the year candidate along with Ball.
Now, didn't I tell you about Kyle Kuzma?
You did.
I was like, that man is the truth. And I got excited because I saw him play summer ball. Mm. And everybody was focused on Ball. But then Kuzma was just scoring points, and he just showed up out of nowhere.
Right. They have a nice young mix. You know, they got the big guy, Lopez, who I think, provides a nice veteran leadership on that team, along with all those young players.
Plus Julius, he's at home because he came from Stanford. Him and his brother went to Stanford, so he's close to home.
Julius Randle is coming to his own. Mm-hmm. The face of the franchise besides Ball, I think, is Brandon Ingram. I think he's the key. You know what you're going to get with Ball, you like to see him push the tempo, get some easy buckets in transition. But Ingram is the key. He's a scorer that they need in that starting lineup.
You know what? I asked you if you were impressed because the unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis, for the Knicks, he put on a show. He had dropped in 37 points.
Right.
I just liked the way he played.
But he can shoot the ball from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you know, you create mismatches on the perimeter. You know, how are you going to guard him? You bring a big guy out. You know, he can go around him. He has a nice handle. He makes good decisions. He gets to the foul line. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. So, you know, if they move him around, you know, get him in some pick and roll, take advantage of everything that he brings to the table because he can do it all.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to digress for a second because we were talking about the Lakers coming into it. When you look at Lonzo and the Lakers, and, I mean, you were talking about some of the players that they have, and I think everybody kind of forgets about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the 6'5" guard. Mm-hmm. Who can score in double figures for the Lakers. And he's the shooting guard, like a swing guard. Because you got Lonzo's going to be the point guard. Right. I mean, without question. Do you think, because those guys had only won, 10 games starting this week. 10 wins under their belt out of, 26 games.
Right.
Do you see them being a team that's going to be sub 500?
They're going to be competitive. They are competitive. But I think they'll be right around 500, building on what they have and then, you know, being better, you know, as they go further in the future.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's cool. And then you had Brenton, Brooke Lopez. You talked about Brandon Ingram. And then when I looked at their roster, Kyle Kuzma, like I said, he's 6'9", 220. I was just impressed with what I saw him in summer league. And I'm like, okay, that brother's going to be – everybody's focusing on Lonzo Ball, which I think gives other people a chance to actually surprise you kind of something when they come out and show what they can do. Because Jordan Clarkson, he's no joke either. Right. I mean, he's a shooter. I mean, he can score. So, and then you still got veterans like Luol Deng. He's still there as well. I think it's going to be showtime in the making because I think 3 years from now it'll be showtime in LA again.
So how do you fit LeBron in that?
Like I told you, you can fit LeBron into anything. So it's like, you know what? I'm glad you said that. LeBron is the type of player who makes a franchise better. And the reason I say that is because LeBron is like a lightning bolt. Think about it. When he made the move to Miami, okay, Dwayne Wade, you know, and Josh, Chris Bosh, mm-hmm. I mean, they were like, okay, we're here. Let's make this happen. Mm-hmm. Immediately, Miami became the talk of the town, mm-hmm. okay? And they backed it up by winning, not 6 or 7 titles, but mm-hmm. they still became the talk of the town. Then when you look at Cleveland, and we talked about this before, mm-hmm. the minute LeBron left, where did Cleveland go? So LeBron is like a lightning bolt. So mm-hmm. if you put LeBron in the mix of all these young Lakers, if you got LeBron, I don't think you would need anybody else.
Well, there are some rumors that LeBron might be going to Houston.
Nah, man. Why?
Well, you already have Chris Paul, who's a good friend of his. James Harden's already there.
No. You know? Now, let me tell you, this is my, and you and Alan can weigh on this if you want to. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant already proved to everyone who's an NBA fan who's paying attention that they cannot be part of a 3-superstar team. They've already proved it, okay? Mm-hmm. You might say, well, Trevin, look at Kevin Durant. Now Kevin Durant is amongst a bunch of superstars. It's not just 3 superstars, okay? And the focus is not on Kevin Durant. So he can relax at any time and show up playoffs, like you said before, if he wants to. Right. That's totally different than the scenario they had when they were all at Oklahoma City. James Harden, he doesn't want to be part of a 3-superstar team. James Harden wants to be the man. Mm-hmm. So you bring in Chris Paul, who is an assist expert, mm-hmm. feeds right into James Harden's plan. Russell Westbrook wants to be the triple threat. He wants to be the man. Mm-hmm. So you can't add a LeBron. All right, so you gave me the scenario where I can't add LeBron James because –
But isn't you talking about that playmaker? Already having a playmaker, isn't that what
Lonzo Ball's a playmaker? Well, are we talking about LeBron James going to LA?
Yeah, if he
or Houston.
I just heard rumors this week a possible destination for LeBron would be Houston, based off of you already have 2 stars there in Chris Paul and James Harden. They're in first place, so they're ready to win a championship. I mean, you think that's part of the criteria for LeBron James to come to your team. You want to be in position to win a championship. He's not going to go to rebuild.
Well, wasn't Miami kind of rebuilding when LeBron went to Miami? When you think about it,
I don't know. I don't know if they were rebuilding. They had I think they had decent players. I mean, how many years had they been removed from? From Wade's from the NBA championship.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you bring in you have a much younger LeBron,
right?
A healthy Chris Bosh.
Okay.
So recruiting those two guys. Along with that team with Udonis Haslem, and that was a different situation. I don't think they thought they were rebuilding at all.
Okay, no problem. They were reloading
right,
as far as they were concerned.
Right.
Okay, I got you. But, I mean, I just think that LeBron going to Houston, okay, number one, you already have Defensive Player of the Year last year, Eric Gordon in Houston, okay? You got James Harden, who just wants to light it up. I mean, he just wants to light it up. So, okay, already you know that's limited touches that's going to either him or LeBron.
Right.
That's a feud in the making,
right.
Okay? Because that's just a feud in the making. I just see that happening. And then you got Chris Paul, who, okay, he can compliment everybody because he just comes in and he's an assist expert.
But he needs the ball in his hands too. So, I mean, I get, you know,
okay.
It's all interesting to me how people put out stories about, you know, LeBron going here and going there.
Right.
And I just don't think that it's as easy as just plugging him in and everything fits. You know, I think it's been shown that there's some with all these teams that have brought in new players, not just new players, but superstar type players, they've struggled a bit. You know, there's an adjustment period. Okay. Look at OKC. They have to be considered one of the biggest disappointments this year. And I've heard that, you know, there's talk of Paul George being traded because he just doesn't quite fit.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Do you think OKC would actually trade Paul George before he finished the season and became a free agent?
They're under 500 right now. So, I mean, in one sense, it makes sense to get something for him rather than because if it doesn't work in these next couple months before the trading deadline, I mean, you got to. That means the experiment failed.
But that would jack up his whole plan. If Paul George's plan is if we're drinking the Kool-Aid and his plan is to leave from OKC after this season and then end up in LA, that would just jack him up totally.
I'm speaking from an OKC perspective.
I got you.
You know, not from the player's perspective.
Right.
I mean, from Paul George's perspective, he can do whatever. I mean, the season could be a huge disappointment for him.
Right.
And he's still a free agent, can go where he wants to go.
So for OKC now, use him while you got him. Trade him away to get Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I don't know if you're getting that, but because he's still a free agent. So, and I think in one sense it makes it tougher to trade him.
Okay.
A potential landing spot could be Cleveland. Cleveveland could take a risk.
Paul George and LeBron James in Cleveland. If LeBron stays,
well, he was gonna go there. I mean, they were working out a trade. And then the last minute it didn't work out.
Okay.
So there's some pieces that would leave that wouldn't come back. I mean, Dwayne Wade is on a 1-year deal.
Right.
So maybe he just goes back to Miami because that's home.
Okay.
I mean, J.R. Smith is 32.
Right.
32, 33. So I mean, I'll take a Paul George over J.R. Smith. You bring a nice two way player.
Right.
When your team needs defense.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let's go back to OKC real quick. Now, you said they're under 500 earlier this week. Then when I look at their roster, I wonder why they're under 500. You got Carmelo Anthony. Then you have Paul George. Okay, and then you have Russell Westbrook. Who else do you have? Like, you don't really have anybody else. And when you look at the roster, and I mean no disrespect to any of the players, because if you make the team, you're good. You got Andre Robertson, Patrick Patterson.
I think when you have a big three like that, what you do is surround them with role players. Like Steven Adams is
a role player.
You know, defense, defense, rebounding.
Big 7-foot center.
Right.
Okay.
And you surround
space
them.
Eater because he's 255, takes up space.
And that's what you do. I mean, those three guys, you know, for OKC, Westbrook, he's a high usage player. He needs the ball in his hands a lot. Paul George has been the man. And you have Carmelo, who's a ball-dominant player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just a catch-and-shoot.
Right.
So, I mean, I thought that was going to be tough for them just because you have these players that, although they're great players or they're nice players, they don't necessarily fit, you know, what kind of style. And you have to, and as a coach, you have to decide what kind of style are we running. I think it worked for Golden State because of the style of offense, you know, and the type of players they have. You have a lot of jump shooters. You have, I mean, I think everyone thinks that you can just plug these superstars on a team and it worked, but it's proven that it at least takes some time to figure it out. OKC doesn't necessarily have time because George is going to be a free agent this year. So you got to figure something out quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you talk about Golden State, we really don't spend a lot of time talking about Golden State. That's because Golden State was already established. Like, it's almost like Steve Kerr had the blueprint already laid out a couple of years ago, and it was proven because, okay, you make it to the playoffs, you win the championship. It's you and Cleveland for the past 3 years as far as the NBA title game is concerned. Mm-hmm. So like Cleveland, I mean, Golden State pretty much has everything mapped out. And then when you have players coming back, like you even have some players that came back at the last minute who are like, well, I don't want to go anywhere else. How much can you pay me so that I can come back to the team? I mean, you really don't have to mess with that, I guess, recipe for title game, so to speak. So that's interesting there. So, all right. So that's the NBA. Championship game, still going to be championship series, still going to be Cleveland and Golden State?
In the West, I see a nice battle with Houston and Golden State.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a nice series.
So everybody's really looking at James Harden and loving what he's doing right now. And being
You have to. Okay. You have to. Okay. I mean, you know, they're playing well. And in the East, I see Boston and Cleveland battling it out. You know, and we have to. There's going to be some additions when Isaiah Thomas comes back. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland's team is going to look a little different by the time the playoffs roll around, as long as everyone stays healthy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those four teams I think are going to do serious battle. Those are going to be some nice some fun matchups to watch.
So again, is it going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the championship, in the title series?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think, Alan?
Cleveland and Golden State will get back there. But I think the Spurs will give Golden State the better run in the West Championship than the Rockets will. And I think the Rockets run hot throughout the year and really struggle in playoffs. When you have a scoring machine like James Harden, the problem is that everybody else has to play more defense and better defense because James is still looking for his points the whole time. And teams win in any major sports with defense. You got to be able to score, but you got to be able to shut somebody down at some point. And I just don't think the Rockets have been able to show that so far. So watch the Spurs in the West. Now that Leonard is back, I think he'll round right back into shape very quickly, and by the time we're talking next week, I think you'll see them take ownership of the games in front of them.
Okay, so you said it will still be Cleveland and Golden State. All right, cool. Well, that puts a wrap on the part of the show where we talk about the NBA, college hoops. We talked about college football. We talked about black college football, but we didn't talk about college football, so to speak. And I don't want to talk about it. No. In that, you still have – nothing's changed. This is the reason we didn't talk about it is because you're still going to have the playoffs. The Final Four is going to be Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma. Not necessarily in that order because Clemson and Alabama are going to play in the first part of the playoff series in one of those first bowls, which I don't like because I think that's a pseudo championship. And then you have Georgia and Oklahoma playing in the other. And then you have – the winner of those two games play for the national championship. And earlier this week, Alabama made history in the senatorial we're going to be real. Big ups to all the minorities and to the black women showing up to make sure that the right candidate for the senator in Alabama made it into the office.
An interesting aside, we came from the NBA to college football. And, Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, tweeted in reaction to Doug Jones' victory in Alabama. Mm-hmm. He tweeted, "Roll Tide, War Eagles," indicating Alabama and Auburn, where Mr. Jones did so well. But I also want to give a shout out, as you just did, to Alabama State, Alabama A&M, Miles College, mm-hmm. Oakwood University, Selma University, Stillman College, and certainly the Tuskegee University, just some of the HBCU schools down there. They really showed out and did a marvelous job in showing 45 that we still got a few tricks up our sleeves.
And you know what? That's interesting that you said that because earlier this week, if anybody was paying attention to politics and the coverage that Alabama got, the future Senator Doug Jones, he actually went to the HBCUs. He went to the campuses and actually talked to the students. And I think that helped kind of galvanize the movement and the support that was behind him in his race. So again, big ups. I mean, kudos to that. Definitely love that.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hand or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99, and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to urbanmediatoday.com and subscribe today.
Now let's move on to the NFL. Now this is where Vince and I, you know what, before I even move on any further, got to send a shout out to my man Ray Porter Jr. There was a mishap that happened earlier this week, and he's doing well, and unfortunately there was a, can I say the fire? Sure. Unfortunately, the dryer in his home ignited a fire in the house, and the family is safe. Ray actually took the time to tweet all of us or reach out to all of us right after it happened and say, hey guys, I'm okay, but I won't be there for the show this week. And Ray, we didn't mention you earlier in the show, but we can't go through a whole show without talking about you, brother, because you're the fourth wheel that's missing on this vehicle. The vehicles run on four wheels, not three. But we're trying to make it happen. But we're glad that the family was safe. We wish you the best, and we're here for you, especially now. It's around the holidays. Christmas is 2 weeks away.
Right.
Yeah. Man, so Ray, got to shout you out. We do miss you. And Ray Porter Jr., I know he'll be here with us next week. He'll be here with us next week, and he's going through all this. But we got you. So I just want to make sure that we shout you out, Ray. Because Ray likes to talk about football, and he covers the Steelers. That's exactly why I'm talking about him. So he's not here. And guess what, Alan and Vince? Ray's not here on the eve of the big game between the New England Patriots, kryptonite, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the big factor as far as this game is concerned is the Steelers have already wrapped up the division. Mm-hmm. Now they're looking for home field advantage. And they have to beat the Patriots to get home field advantage throughout. Can you imagine the Pittsburgh Steelers having home field advantage in Heinz Field throughout the playoffs? That would be ridiculous.
And you know Mike Tomlin is excited.
Oh, yeah. Earlier this week, he was talking about being in the kitchen. And the kitchen is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania right. This week. And he said he loves playing in big games because who wants to play in a little game? Nobody's watching those. Right. Everybody's watching the big games. So, I mean, I'm loving that. The thing that worries me, Alan, is about the Steelers. We already know, I always say, the New England Patriots have been the Steelers' kryptonite. You don't have your middle linebacker, who has been pointed out as being the person with all the speed, all the athleticism, and the intelligence to make that defense work. How do you make it happen?
You're not going to stop them. I watched the Dolphins play New England on Monday night, and it was a tremendous game. And the Dolphins' defense, statistically, is not a better defense than Pittsburgh. But they have four forces up front that really put the pressure on Tom and really drove Brady crazy throughout the game. I look for Pittsburgh to play a lot better than they did in the championship game last year, hopefully, for their sake. But Brady is Brady, and they just continuously find a way to pick through the holes in a Pittsburgh team, and they're coming off of a loss. So the mad chemist Belichick has been stewing and probably hasn't gone home since last Saturday. So this is a trap game for Pittsburgh. I do think Pittsburgh will play better again, as I said, but I don't think the opportunities are going to be as prevalent. Watching Pittsburgh against Baltimore, who also has a better defense than
New England?
New England, a better defense than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But Pittsburgh, and if there's a better wide receiver ever in the NFL than Antonio Brown, I'd like to meet him.
That's interesting. When you said this would be a trap game, now, is it really a trap game when you think about Pittsburgh playing New England? They're both aware of each other. So it's I guess preparation for the game would be heavy.
I think it's a trap game from the standpoint that Pittsburgh's going to feel comfortable because they're home.
Okay.
They've struggled with New England more on the road than they struggled with them in Pittsburgh. I was at a game a few years ago when New England came into town and Pittsburgh beat them handily in Pittsburgh, and then turned around and went up to New England and lost the game later in the year. So you have a comfort zone when you're playing at home. So that's the trap part that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, New England coming off what can be considered a bad loss to Miami. Miami is not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little better than 500, but man, it sets up for, if Pittsburgh doesn't come out and play consistently, I was going to say come out and start fast, but they came out against Baltimore and went up 14-0, and then before you knew it, Baltimore was way on top of them. So that's the trap part. They've got to come out and own New England and get in Tom Brady's face.
So let me ask you guys this question. LJ Ford, he came from New England, didn't he? Was a linebacker for the Steelers. I think he came from New England. Shazier, with Shazier not being in that middle, and this is where I was going with that, how strong is Pittsburgh, the heart of the defense? Because when you look at the linebacker core, you got Bud Dupree, Vince Williams, Sean Spence or Chiquillo, Watts. I mean, did Javon Hargrove play in as far as a linebacker this past week in that game?
The one play that stood out with Hargrove was when they ran a zone blitz.
Mm-hmm.
He got caught out trying to cover a back out.
Gotcha. Okay, so he wasn't playing linebacker. No, and I admittedly, and I've said this before, I'm not a Ben Roethlisberger fan. And the reason for that, and I'll say it, is because I think Ben has gotten away with a lot off the field that he wasn't really held accountable for early in his career, to whereas I thought other players who were black players had done the same thing, they would have gotten a harder way to go. But that's just my opinion. But just because I'm not a fan doesn't mean I can't respect his game. 500 yards passing? Is he like the only quarterback in the NFL to have three 500-yard passing games, I think, in his career?
Yep.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. But you know what? And you just said it, Alan. This year, he has to give credit to Antonio Brown.
Oh, absolutely.
Without question, because like Alan is saying, the way Antonio is performing, Julio Jones had a performance that was close to Antonio Brown in the one game with the Falcons where he had over 200 yards receiving in that game. But no other receiver has even come close to what Antonio Brown is doing consistently.
And he could probably do it every week. That's the scary thing, because he could probably do it every single week. And every week, we'd be like, wow.
And you know what? I just got excited when you said that, because you know who I thought about? And you guys might not agree with me. Well, there's two receivers that I thought about, young guys, that I want you guys to keep your eye on. One is D.D. Westbrook with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He just came back from an injury. He has the potential to do, in my opinion, what Antonio Brown is doing. It's going to take him a minute. He's a rookie. Josh Gordon is the other one with the Cleveland Browns. Josh Gordon, I just think with him being out for years – the rate that he was going, Vince, you and I talked about this about 3 weeks ago, where Josh was just, his numbers were astronomical for the short period of time that he played. And I'd like to get Alan to weigh in on this. When you look at Josh now, the way he's performing in the games, he's becoming the favorite target for Kaiser for the Browns, and even though they, have two more games left in the season. But, I mean, I think he has the potential to be like a – three more games left in the season. He has the potential to be like a Antonio Brown.
Well, he was. He was until all
of it went up in smoke, huh?
I saw an interview with RG3,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about him down at Baylor,
mm-hmm.
and that he was all world in Baylor, but he had a substance problem even at Baylor. Well, Baylor's famous for supporting their athletes to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a great receiver, but can he stay out of trouble is a sad thing. There's so many great athletes have fallen along that way. There were guys that I played with in high school who should have been playing before I played, but they couldn't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, for that fact, they'd come to the gym and play with us, and they were out jumping those of us that were on the team.
Right.
There's something about that whole dedication part and how much you want to be successful. And I think that maybe now, after missing 3 years, maybe now he's ready to go. But right before he got suspended the last time, he had 15 catches against the Steelers.
Yes.
Blew him away.
Yep.
They lost the game, but he blew him away. And he is a great, potentially great receiver for the NFL.
The reason I even brought him up is because when you look at Josh Gordon, I think he did that with like almost three different quarterbacks, because the Browns haven't had a consistent quarterback.
One game.
Probably so. So when you said Antonio Brown, I got excited because I thought about D.D. Westbrook. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars are doing their thing. They're actually in playoff contention right now. And D.D. Westbrook is, like I said, he's a rookie. He just came back, I think, 2 weeks ago, and he came back from injury, and it looks like he's getting involved in that recipe for success for Jacksonville, and definitely Josh Gordon, I'm a Josh Gordon fan. Mm-hmm. And I think RG3 wanted him to come to Cleveland when he came out of school, because RG3 had, I think he was in his rookie season, and then Josh came out the next year, if I'm not mistaken. Amazing, amazing. And I saw that interview earlier this week, which is an excellent interview. For those of you who missed it, I don't know if ESPN is going to play it again, but RG3 has his head on his shoulders. Like, he has his head in the right place. And I liked what he said, Alan and Vince. In that interview, he said that he could have been a part of a program in this preseason. Like, he could now still be a part of a program. He said it has to be the right situation. And he didn't say it with arrogance. He said, being a quarterback who's smarter and wiser and knowing how your value, that you know how to fit into a machine. So the right situation had to come along. And he said right situation referred to the coach, referred to the general manager, and referred to the system. So that's a man, I think, that learned during the downtime. And he had no qualms saying, I'm in shape, I'm ready to go right now. But he did say if he gets a chance to come back, that he wants to come back, he's shooting for the starting position. And he said he could play this year, even though there's only three games left in the season. He could play this year, but he's definitely ready for next year. And made the statement that he's not looking for a spot. He's not looking for a job. He's preparing himself for the next opportunity. I was impressed. Both Colin Kaepernick and RG3, Robert Griffin III, we've heard about Colin all year long. The focus has been on Colin because of the movement and what Colin's been doing. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's been making things happen. He hasn't been talking a lot, which is amazing to me. And his movement is just still moving. He showed he's intelligent. He shows he's insightful. He shows he's more than just a football player. He's a well-rounded man. African-American man. Black man. RG3, who now just showed up this week and started talking, is showing that he's a well-rounded, intelligent black man. Are owners in the NFL intimidated, or do they just not see that these guys can fit the can have a place with the team? Because now that I say owners, it could be coaches. What do you think?
Right now, for RG3, I think he still has to prove that he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a long history list attached to his career. So, you know, wherever he goes, I mean, it does have to be a very good situation for him. You know, they need to have a solid offensive line. He needs to have a good quarterbacks coach, a good coach, you know, with a good system that understands, you know, what he brings to the table. You know, what are his best qualities. That he can show when he gets out, you know, on the field, and that might be in question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you know he can prove, and I think having sent out this whole year is probably good for him. He probably, you know, can get himself back into shape, get himself healthy. I think doing interviews like he did this week will go a long way towards solidifying mentally, how he's preparing for this next phase in his career. So yeah, I mean, it does have to be the right situation.
Oh, cool. Alan.
Well, I think that both of these quarterbacks are a shining example of racism in the NFL.
Wow.
It's quite frankly, they're better than most backup quarterbacks, and they're certainly in the top 20 quarterbacks that are in the NFL right now. So, again, why do they... A good coach fits his system around a great player. They are great players, and a coach needs to be able to work with them and make them work for their system and in a system that helps them. They're out of the league because they're black.
Wow. Okay. I straightened to the point. Got it. All right, so now that we talked about that, and I'm wishing both of those gentlemen well, and I would love to see Philadelphia. You need a quarterback. I mean, you got Colin Kaepernick, a veteran that's out there who's has Super Bowl experience, and you got RG3. I mean, those are two guys that will probably come in at the league minimum right now to be a part of your organization. Why are you not making it happen? That's the question I'm putting out to Philly, and I'm from around Philly. So, Philly, yeah, I'm calling you out because you call everybody out. So, let's make it happen. All right, let's make something else happen. Let's go to the predictions, and then we'll get big words from the big guy to close out the show. Speaking of big words from the big guy has a record of 20 wins and 4 losses at this point in the season. Vince is right behind him. I have to say, I have to bow to Vince and say humbly say, I respect you, sir. He has a record of 17-7. Ray is 15-9, and I am coming in, and I'm now the caboose because I'm at 12-8 after last week's picks. The interesting thing last week was we all picked the Steelers over. Nope, no, we didn't. That's a lie. Ray, Allen, and Vince picked the Steelers over the Ravens. I picked the Ravens. And then Allen and Allen and Ray and myself, we picked the Eagles over LA. Vince stuck his neck out there for the Rams. And then the Oakland and Kansas City game. Allen and Vince were the two that picked Kansas City. Ray and I picked Oakland, and I think I followed behind Ray, so I'm blaming you, Ray, for that one because I think I came behind you and picked the Raiders as well. This week, it's the Rams at Seattle, it's New England at Pittsburgh, and it's the Chargers at the Chiefs. The Chargers and the Chiefs are playing on Saturday night tonight. The Chargers and the Chiefs are playing tonight, gentlemen. Who you got? Vince?
Chargers on a roll. With four straight. I think offensively, they're in a nice groove right now. Even though the Chiefs won last week, I think defensively they've been struggling. So I'm going LA Chargers 34-27.
You got LA 34-27 over Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, who do you have?
Well, unfortunately, I think Vince is right.
Wow.
I'm not a Kansas City. I'm not on the Kansas City bandwagon right now. I do worry about the Chargers and Rivers. Rivers has never been a big game quarterback in my mind. He can get you to 9-7, 10-6 every year, but hasn't won the big game yet. But I'm going to go with the Chargers 27-21 over Kansas City.
27-21. Allen is going with the Chargers. Well, Trevin A. Jones is going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the reason I'm going with the Chiefs is I want to see Kareem Hunt get off. Kareem Hunt has been kind of a quiet, but he's still dangerous. So I think he'll be a key factor in this one. Also, I think Alex Smith still has he still has targets. Tariq Hill, if Tariq Hill can get going, you know, he could be a problem. And then you got Albert Wilson. You don't hear much about him, but if Albert Wilson can get going, he's a problem. And then you already have DeMarcus Robinson. So I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs in their offense. It's going to be Kansas City 30, the LA Chargers 27. All right, so next up is we'll go to the Rams at Seattle. This should be a good one. Vince, who you got?
This week I'm going to go with you when you say
bet on black. Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I see Seattle win this game. 27-21, with obviously Russell Wilson accounting for if not all of the touchdowns, most of the touchdowns, as he's done all season. So, yeah, Seattle over the Rams.
27-21?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who do you have, Alan?
I like the Seahawks also. 28-27 over the Rams. I think it's very difficult to win in Seattle. And Russell Wilson is one of my favorite NFL players.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go with 28-27.
28-27, Seattle. Okay. And I'm going with Seattle simply because Seattle's mad. I mean, after they went one down in Jacksonville last weekend, I mean, you got everybody's just mad. I mean, so I think Russell's going to corral that energy. He's going to harness that energy, and he's probably going to pump up the Seahawks before they go out there to play the Rams, who are upstart at this point in time, the Nomads. And I think it's going to be Seattle. I think it's going to be, I don't know, I'm going to say 35-28 Seattle. So that moves us to the big game. The New England Patriots coming into Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Home field advantage for the playoffs is on the table. Vince, who you got?
The Steelers are obviously on a roll. With winners of 8 straight, I think they will continue to ride the emotional roller coaster with Ryan Shazier.
Mm-hmm.
They've proven that they can come back. They've proven that, you know, even though they're down, they can still make a run and get back in the game and win the game. So I don't think they're going to panic if they're not winning late. So I'm going to go at home. I'm going to go with the Steelers 38-31 over the Patriots.
Steelers 38-31. Alan, who you got?
As much as I worry about what Mr. Brady is going to be able to do, I'm going to take Pittsburgh in this one, 31-28. And I think Pittsburgh, at home, they really want to turn it around and show people that they can beat that.
So you got Pittsburgh 31-28. Man, I did it last week. Do I do it again? Do I dare go against Pittsburgh for the second week in a row, especially at home, and especially with Kryptonite coming to town? You know what, gentlemen? Even though Roethlisberger passed for over 500 yards in the last game, he always seems to find a way, in my opinion, to mess up. It's either an interception or the ball is held too long. But New England's defense is questionable. If it wasn't for the fact that New England's defense is a question mark, I would definitely say it would be New England. But all that being said, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say it's going to be the Steelers by a score of 24-17. Did that even make sense? So Steelers 24-17. So now that brings us to the part where we get big words from the big guy, insightful, and always listen for this because it's like he teaches me some stuff. So this is this point where we're going to go to big words for the big guy, and that's Alan Lincoln.
Why, America, must we still be dealing with the unfair way of treatment to women? 6 current and former NFL Network employees, 5 of them former NFL players, were suspended by their employers after they were named in a lawsuit claiming that they had sexually harassed and assaulted a former colleague. They suspended Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans, and Ike Taylor pending an investigation in response to the suit. ESPN is also investigating Donovan McNabb and Eric Davis, who have shows on ESPN Radio. And ESPN has announced that they will no longer be on until after the investigation. Sports has always been a place that has struggled with integrating people, from African Americans to Hispanics, and certainly with women in sports. The unfairness of salaries, equal treatment, promotions, ownership, and so many other biases that I don't have enough time to review. What #MeToo is telling America? Enough. We've made this country great by being fair and having equal opportunity for many people. We here at Urban Media Today, Talking Sports, say it's way past time to be fair.
And there you have it. Big words from the big guy. Insightful, intuitive, shining a light on the topic. The team today has been myself, Trevin A. Jones, along with Vince Butts, as well as Alan Lincoln. Make sure you tune in to us next Saturday, because like I always tell you, there's a whole lot more of where this came from.
especially as we wind down the NFL season and look towards the postseason. So it's Urban Media Today, talking sports. We'll see you here every Saturday, 8 a.m. The replay of our show is at 5 p.m. See you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games are being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.